Welcome to our podcast series, Unfiltered. This is where we have courageous conversations about topics that are not always discussed in the mainstream or in the workplace.
Here we strip away the polished surface and dive into the raw, messy, and deeply human topics that we don't think get talked about often enough.
We are your unfiltered hosts. I'm Amy from the Courage of a Leader podcast.
And I'm Daphna from Leadership Live podcast. We two coaches from two sides of the world who believe that real growth happens in the uncomfortable, unspoken moments.
From workplace trauma to dealing with major life changes and taboo topics like grief, imposter syndrome, and menopause, this is the space where nothing is off limits.
So if you're ready for honest, bold, and sometimes messy conversations, let's get into it. We've all been there, that moment when something happens at work or at home and you feel the heat rise inside you. You tell yourself to stay calm, stay professional, don't let it show, but you didn't manage to keep it all under wraps.
Yes. And we have been taught that this emotion, this anger is bad, that it's unprofessional, that it's unproductive, that we have to keep that under wraps. But what if anger isn't the problem?
Exactly. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Why does anger get such a bad rap? How it shows up in leadership and in life? And what do we do with it?
Yes, Daphna, it's time to get unfiltered. So Daphna, why are we talking about anger today?
Yeah, right. It's a bit of a strange topic because I can imagine that maybe some people will be listening and going, well, I'm actually a pretty calm person. I don't really get angry. And so maybe I don't need to listen to this, but I'm saying, hold on. I think there'll be value for everyone. And for me, it really comes down to the fact that it's completely natural to get angry. And under the label of angry can come irritation, annoyed, upset,
frustrated.
Exactly. There are so many things. There are the little things that start to bubble up, but we dare not say the word anger because that somehow has got such a bad reputation. We are not allowed to feel angry.
And I think it's too much. We can feel irritated. We can feel slightly disappointed. We can express that. But for some reason, anger has that taboo.
Exactly. Now,
you're not supposed to be angry because then you're a hothead.
Right.
You're out of control.
We've been brought up with the fact that we aren't allowed to get angry. And I think why we wanted to talk about it today is because anger isn't the bad thing or the bad emotion or the bad person here. It's not anger. Anger is a completely natural, normal emotion. And we're going to go into it can even be a good emotion, but we really want to separate right from the outset. We want to separate between the emotion feeling angry about something and how we behave. And I think our behaviors, as you said, the aggression, throwing a chair, screaming at someone, going into a tantrum, those behaviors are not great. Those behaviors we want to avoid. Those we might not really be okay to express it in that way in public or even in private. I don't know. We need to understand what anger is. What is it here to tell us? And then how do you want to express it or channel it in a more healthy way?
Yes. So we are saying clearly that the emotion of anger is not the enemy here, not something that we have to immediately suppress. Like, oh, this is bad. This is too much coming up inside of my body. But instead, letting that be there. This is anger. This is an emotion. What is it telling me in this moment? And I'm a human being.
Yeah.
So if
and
I
that
care
anger is
about
okay. Anger is okay. And I'm just thinking as we're talking, how many times does it happen that someone says, are you angry? And immediately like, no, I'm not angry, you know?
Yeah.
And you can tell from the tone of voice. So I'm just really wanting everyone listening to just take a moment and think when we rush to say, I'm not angry. What is it in the tone? What happened there? What happens in our body when we get angry? How do you recognize that?
Yes. And one more thing, Daphna, before we shift. If you are a human being who cares to a degree about things, people, situations, phenomenons in our world, you are going to feel strong emotions about that from time to time. So you are going to feel anger. It's okay. It's because you care. It's because you have something at stake. And we'll talk more about that.
Yeah. Well, are we talking about it now? Is there something more to say?
No, I think that's good.
No, because I wanted to like jump in there and say for me, the best part is linking anger to passion and saying when you have a strong emotion, such as anger about something, it really means that you are passionate about something. You're usually angry when you see an injustice, you see something that's been unfair, you see something that's just not working the way that you think it should, or the way you know, out of alignment with your values. Often the things that get us really angry means that something's happened that is out of alignment with our values. And it really directly links to what we are passionate about. What are the things that mean the most to us? So if you look at activists who are really out there to change the injustices of the world, they come from an angry place of, it can't be that there is so much poverty, that there's so much violence, that there's so much inequality. It can't be. So what are you going to do about it? And that's the beauty of anger. And that's actually what I want to really say a little bit about now.
The emotion can be a catalyst. Right. And it can also show us what is important to us. Right. Those moments where you feel that emotion flare up, bubble up for you. What's the value that's being compromised in that moment? Or there could be a boundary that is being crossed for you or for a team member or for someone that you love. I mean, Daphna, I know the moments that I have been the most angry, someone has crossed a boundary of someone that I care about.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, it has had me shouting in French on the street in defense of my dear friend.
I know. It can be a friend, can be your child. I remember a situation where, you know, my child and their friend were in the middle of a heated argument. And then, you know, the one child started just laying into my child. And I was like, no, that's not. Then you become the fierce lioness, right?
Yes.
And I think that's also, I love that you've brought that in, because we get triggered. We get triggered. And we get a strong emotional response in return that can be anger. And it's important to understand, stop for a minute and say, what has been triggered here? You know?
Yeah. Well, I also noticed in this moment, Daphne, you know, we both gave those examples of standing up and not suppressing the anger, expressing something in those moments, but we did it on behalf of others.
Yeah.
There's something that I'm probably more automatically repressing it when it comes to me.
That's right.
Right? Like, should I, do I, right? And we've got that socialized tendency to automatically repress. Don't share this, you know, you'll look too emotional, you'll look too irrational, you'll look proportionally too strong.
I love that distinction that you've brought in, because it's easy for us to go in defense of someone that we really care about. But when we are triggered for ourselves and we get angry all of a sudden, that red hot flash of, you know, temper, or even I'm going to say that slight annoyance and irritation, because we're all different in our levels of expressiveness of anger, or even being aware of what's going on for us. But when we're defending, when we get angry about something that's to do with us, we are taking a stand for something that is important to us. As you said, whether it's a value, a boundary, or something that is very meaningful to us, we are going to get that emotional response. And it's worthwhile noticing it. It's worthwhile noticing it and changing the narrative around it, because it's not wrong. We want to really change the narrative and say, what is this coming to tell me? What is it pointing to that I'm really passionate about, or that I really care about in this moment? And that's really important to understand. So stop saying it's terrible to get angry, or that person was angry because he, you know, road rage incident, and he came out and started screaming at the next car. That, yes, it's anger, but it's actually aggression. It's the behavior that is, so the, what's wrong is the aggression. A person,
the behavior.
The behavior,
not the emotion.
Not the emotion.
Yeah. And so we're saying be aware of it, right? Learn from it. Reframe it. Exactly. We don't have to immediately feel shame and repress it. I know we did some research, Daphna, and I really love what the University of Colorado studies found, that expressing anger in healthy ways improves communication and problem solving, while suppression correlates with higher stress and poorer decision making.
Exactly. So think about the meeting where you have something really important to say, or someone has said something that you know is wrong because you've done some background research or you've done some calculations or whatever analysis, and you know that someone just said something that is incorrect, but maybe you don't understand or remember the exact detail of it. So now you're not sure if you should say something or not say something, and you're kind of battling with us because you don't want to rock the boat and you don't want to, but there's something in you because you can feel this, you know, frustration rise or irritation rise because you know that this person is leading the meeting in the wrong way. What are you going to do with that? And I want to say that just noticing that moment of irritation or frustration or what's actually going on here, I feel like this person's leading me astray, that is already pointing to something that is important for you, to whether maybe it's a truth or a different perspective that is worth voicing in the room. And just understand, okay, take that moment to say, why is this coming up for me now? What am I feeling and what is it pointing to? It's pointing to the fact that I have something that I want to add to this conversation.
Yes, I love your passion around this subject. And another thing I wanted to put into the conversation, as you were saying that, you're saying like, as we feel the emotion coming up, as we're feeling that inside of our bodies, I think it could be worth having everybody stop for a moment and think about how those physical sensations manifest in each of our bodies. Because sometimes we're quick to anger. Right. And I know that I've had times where I haven't noticed it consciously in time. My amygdala hijack is going, right? But I haven't noticed it consciously in that moment to be able to take that intentional pause, right? And then I'm automatically going to one side of the continuum or the other. I'm expressing without full processing, or I'm repressing automatically. But if we can tune into those physical sensations, it could give us another beat. It could give us another moment to notice what's going on. So some people will get red in the neck, right? Some people will feel, bubbles are turning in their stomach. Others,
faster heartbeat, shortness of breath. You know, you want to say something. For some people, it might come very naturally. They can actually just express what they want to say, give a difference of opinion. I don't agree with you. And they do it very elegantly. There's some people who naturally can do that. But for some people, there's a bit of that, fear of, I don't know, so I want to say something. Yeah. How am I going to say it?
So if everybody can just think about that right now, how does it manifest in your body so that that can be a signal to you, right? It's coming. I don't have to repress it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's coming. I'm gonna notice what it's telling me here.
Exactly. Yeah. And then also we wanted to talk a little bit about gender differences.
Gender differences, yeah. Yes.
But there's a little bit of a double standard when it comes to anger and perhaps being a little bit more assertive. Around stuff when it comes to men and women.
Yes. I'd love to go right to what a Yale study found. Yale study found that men's anger increased their perceived competence while women's anger decreased theirs.
How crazy is that? Yeah.
It is crazy. And if you're a female out there who thinks, oh, yeah, my immediate reaction is to suppress.
Exactly.
Right. Some of that can, much of that comes from how society interprets and reacts to a female showing emotion, showing passion.
Right. So when a woman shows emotion, then it's you're getting emotional. When a woman is angry, you're getting emotional, you're
It's
bossy.
irrational.
Yeah. And then I think there's also something in women, and we're generalizing here, and of course everyone's different, but
Yes.
in general, women will, maybe if they have an outburst, I think they'll end up feeling much worse about it afterwards than men. Because for men, it's showing dominance and control and power, and okay, they can be forgiven a little bit of a angry outburst. But women takes a lot more to kind of smooth that over and becomes maybe a little bit of the perception that, you know, follows this woman.
Yeah, I told you this, Daphne, not too long ago. I had an exchange and I got assertive. And it was I actually intentionally decided to get assertive in that moment. I had a message to share and I shared it, right? And I had to stick with it to have myself be heard. But then walking away, I probably had two steps of like, okay, great. Good for you, Amy. And then I turned into, oh, was it too much? Like, you know, like somebody observed that. What are they thinking, right? Did they think, you know, what is this middle-aged woman going on about? And immediately the judgment came in there. And I thought, isn't this so interesting? I intentionally decided to be assertive. I do not feel like I did not turn into too overly aggressive in that moment, but I still was having that reaction of beration and question and shame. And was it too much?
Yeah. I think because we've been conditioned to not express too much. And I know that women are culturally conditioned to stay likable, while men are culturally conditioned to be in control, you know? And I think there's a big difference there. And the likable and competence is very much linked as well, because the more likable, there's been research done about that as well, is that the more likable you come across, the less competent people assume that you are. And that's also something that kind of can get added into this mix. So, but then when women try to reduce their likability factor and be more assertive, they get kind of what's the word, criticized for that as well. It isn't fully accepted.
I mean, I know we're going to go into, you know, how do we shift this from reacting to having that thoughtful response. I got to say, overall, for me, often what I need to tune into is, what is my commitment? What is my commitment in the big picture? Right. And setting aside how likable, or because I want people to like me, right? But setting aside how likable am I in the moment? But here's something I care about. Here's a commitment that's pulling me forward. So I'm going to speak up. I'm going to say something, even if I don't do it perfectly.
Yeah. And I think that this now really gets to that place of the separation, which I think is so important. What we were really alluding or saying before is that just the separation between what is the emotion and what is the response or behavior as a result. And then what is the impact of that behavior and response? So when we have a certain emotion and we want to have a certain impact, then we can't have that automated triggered response without thinking, because we're probably not going to have the impact that we want. And that's something, you know, that because I am a very expressive, passionate person, you might have guessed.
Yes,
so sometimes I can speak about a topic that I'm really passionate about, and people can think that I'm angry, and then the impact is just not there. So that's also sometimes a misinterpretation of expressiveness or passion or you know, the tone that you use in how you speak. But bringing it back to anger, it really is about understanding when I'm angry, really noticing that and saying, well, how do I want to express myself so that I have the impact that I want to have in the situation? And not how do, okay, I'm angry. We're not saying Anger is okay. Be angry. Do what you want.
Throw chairs. No.
Exactly. In all likelihood, you're not going to have the impact that you want. Your message is not going to be heard. It's not going to land in the way that you want. But really, yes. really, really important upfront is to recognize it first and foremost.
Yes. Yes, yes. Actually, we're going to share 5 steps with you
yes.
from reacting to relating and giving yourself the best chance of having that impact that
exactly.
you want to have in
exactly.
the moment, like you're talking about, Daphna. So step one is acknowledge it. And that's to ourselves first.
It's noticing, actually. Just yeah. notice that this is what's going on for you. Hey, oh my yeah. gosh, like you said, those body responses, my heart's starting to beat, my mouth is going dry, my breath is short, something, you know, sweat yeah. glands are pouring, whatever it is.
Yes.
Notice the response, because when you can notice it for yourself, that's the first step is being aware and acknowledging it.
I'm angry and it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Step
that's the second
two.
Step. Is naming it.
Well, yeah. And that acknowledging it is like letting
just
it be.
Noticing.
It's okay.
Oh, what's going on for me? What's going
yeah.
on for me right now? My breath is
yeah.
short. My I'm feeling a little bit tense or whatever it is. Noticing, observing.
It's neutral.
Yeah.
I'm angry. Not the bad anger is here.
Without
and
judgment.
I don't want to be here.
Without judgment.
Yeah. Acknowledge without judgment is the perfect way to say it. And then step two, name what
name
it is protecting.
Okay.
Right? What's the value that's at stake? What's the boundary that has been crossed? What's being threatened?
Oh.
Is it my time? Is it the team's time? Is it my integrity? Is it
okay,
somebody
okay, else? Okay. Sorry. So I think I'm like a step behind, because I think for me, there's two
yeah.
elements there. Sorry. In your first step of the acknowledging,
yeah.
I have
yep.
notice and name. So I think
yep.
the noticing it is notice that this is happening for me in my body. Naming
yep.
it is naming it, I am angry, or I am frustrated, or I am annoyed. That is the second naming it. And then you
okay.
bringing it into name what it's protecting, which is already
name
another
protecting.
Layer. It's that deep.
Folks, we are shifting to 6 steps in this
yeah,
moment.
Yeah, we're shifting to 6 steps.
This is unfiltered.
I just added a step in there.
Okay. This is going to be easier to remember if we have all the ends.
Okay.
Notice it.
Name it.
Right. And then name what it's protecting.
Exactly. What value
right.
is it pointing to? What is
yes.
it pointing to that is important to you, that is meaningful to you, that is a boundary that's being crossed, or that's a person that you care about, whatever it is. Understand what is the thing you really, really care about in there. That's
yes.
the second naming.
Got it. Notice, name, and then pause. We do need to pause. We need to create some space here before the response, because we still have that flood of cortisol and we still have the emotive part of our brain that is lit up and going, fight, flight, or freeze. It's time to protect the human. So pause. I mean, this doesn't have to be for 10 minutes, it can be for a few seconds.
Or even a breath. Take a deep breath.
Have that
take a
pause.
Couple of deep breaths. Yeah. But it can also
yeah.
be, I do say to my clients sometimes, if something's happened and you understand something's going on for you, that you need a little bit of space, create that space for yourself. Say,
yeah.
hold on a sec, I need a few minutes to just go to the bathroom. Go to the bathroom, take
yeah.
some breaths, throw water on, splash water on your face or whatever it is. Just that walk. And, you know, walk to the bathroom,
yeah.
walk back, that can help you to take
yeah.
that pause, to regain composure, calm down the amygdala and get your cognitive brain thinking again.
Yes. If you can do that, that's ideal. Now, Daphne, I also want to acknowledge that someone might be in the middle of a meeting.
Yeah.
Right. And something's been brought up. This is the space. Like, it's not right. You want to say something in that moment. Those few deep breaths tell your brain that the human is not running from a tiger. You know, you don't have to be in survival mode. Let the brain activity go to the prefrontal cortex. And I actually just picked up my pen, right? And do that. I'm angry. Here's what
yeah.
it's protecting, right? Like, take that moment to make a few notes
yeah.
so that you can do the next step, which is communicate from clarity. Not from charge, right? I'm just like charged and I'm reacting, but instead communicate from clarity. And I think it could be good to get some go-to statements here, Daphna. I'm frustrated because this matters to me. Or I'd like to time out. I think we need to reset expectations. Or I care about this too much to stay silent, right? I think this is going to have an impact on our customers that we haven't thought through thoroughly, right? Or I think we just trampled on somebody's feelings there. Let's pause for a moment, right? And what's that statement that you use to open up the conversation you want to open up in that moment?
And I do think it's a really good idea for you to have a statement that you can go to. It's kind of like something that you practice. Oh, hold on a sec, I need a moment to think through this. Or even if it's just a statement, because I think that when we're going through this emotional journey and it's happening in the moment and you want to address it, sometimes it's hard to name what is going on in the room. It takes a lot of courage to say, you know, we need to reset expectations, or I'm frustrated because it matters to me. Those words may not come off the tongue so easily. So I do think even saying, hold it a sec, I need a moment to think about it. Or if someone's asking you to do something, just that kind of, even that can be a go-to statement of, I need to think about this, I'll get back to you. Because sometimes you can't respond in the moment, and you do need, it doesn't have to be in the moment at that time. I think if you've noticed it, you've named it, you've been able to see what's underneath it, what is it that matters to you so much? And then you can actually say, I need to think about this, or I need to take a few breaths, give yourself the pause, and decide that you will handle it later. I think that's also
I actually love that. You can have a go-to statement for, I'm going to open up a conversation in this moment. And you can have a go-to statement for, I need to buy myself some time here.
Exactly.
Lovely.
And
then I don't know if we need step six. Step six was going to be channel the energy into movement.
I think that's good. I think really good, because truth is that emotion, any emotion, and especially when it's a strong emotion, it's energy in motion, emotion. So what actually happens with emotions, it's an energy inside of us and it's got to go somewhere. So if we can notice it and actually get up and get yourself a cup of coffee, make some kind of movement that allows the energy to flow. That actually also helps in releasing that pent up emotion. So I'm saying, even if you're in a meeting, you can just get up and stand. Sometimes people get up and stand and kind of shake their legs a little bit because they've been sitting for too long, or there's a coffee bar in the corner and you can go over there and just make yourself a cup of coffee. There are ways that you can find that you can go into motion without anybody necessarily noticing that this is what you're doing.
Excellent. Okay. I actually was thinking about it differently, Daphna. So I love that you went to physical movement. I was also thinking energetically, like how much the anger charge has on us. So if we notice it, if we name the emotion, if we name what it's protecting, we take that pause and then we communicate from clarity, right? Like, in that communication, we've taken some of the charge out of what we're going to say in that moment. But then, like, the emotion is still there, right? We still care. So then I was thinking, like, as the conversation continues, or when you come back to the conversation, like, allow that emotional energy into the exchange. We can express our emotion. Like we said, not by throwing chairs, not by getting forcefully aggressive in a moment, but why can't we have some emotion get into our voice? Why can't we show that passion, like channel that energy for positive? I've already given us examples of how we can use that strong emotion as a catalyst to reform things in our world.
Yeah. It's true. I love what you're saying, because it can really be an opportunity to say, this matters to me, this matters to us. or even an exploration of this is really what matters to me. What matters to you? You know, and as if I understand you correctly, you're saying bring that emotion into the conversation. What really matters here for us? Why are we getting so heated up? Because we're both really passionate about something. Something matters to us. And often I find, especially in working with people in conflict situations where there is a heated argument about, say, the way to do something, what matters to them is the same thing. What's important to them is often the same thing. They both want the success of the project or the goal or the team or the person, whatever it is. The success of the situation is equally important to both those people. They just have a difference of opinion about how they should go about resolving it or doing it or what the next step should be. And if you can for a moment say, what is it that matters to me? Clearly we're passionate here. When you see anger in the room, rename it. Say, clearly we're passionate here. What are we passionate? What are we each passionate about? I'm willing to bet 70% of the time or 70% of what they are passionate about will be exactly the same.
Yes, yes. So Daphna, I'm hearing, can we be with people expressing their opinions with emotional charge to that? And also it can be a really useful strategy in those exchanges to also acknowledge what's the common ground.
Yeah.
What's the common goal? Yeah. I mean, even if you have to go pretty far up, right? Like we both care about providing a good service to our customer, right? We may have fundamentally different thoughts about how we're supposed to do that. Right. And can we both express what we care about and why we care about it in that moment?
I think that's really, I love where this conversation has gone and where it started and where it's led to, because I think that the whole thing around anger and I guess any other strong emotion that we feel is that there is to always know that there is validity to it, that it is okay. There are no bad emotions, really.
No, it's very human.
How do we want to actually give expression to our anger in a way that is healthy and lands well and has the impact that we want it to have? And I think that the 6-step, 7-step, 5-step, whatever it was, I think we had steps with offshoots.
Yes.
The tips that we gave here are really, really helpful in terms of really understanding and acknowledging what it is that's going on. What is it pointing to? Because that is really the main thing for me here is what is it pointing to? What is the message that it's trying to tell us? What is it that we really care about? And then taking that pause, moving, finding that sentence, finding that statement, taking the break, and then coming back to it in a much cleaner space where you're not emotionally charged and you can actually land your message with impact.
So don't immediately suppress that anger. The goal isn't to calm down. The goal is to get clear.
And actually, just another thing to add to that is the whole idea of a calm and composed leader. I think that's something that's really important and we value that. But sometimes these people might be suppressing a whole lot of emotions that could be creating artificial harmony rather than real harmony. So that's also something we really want to be real. That's what we're talking about, right? We want to be real.
Yes. Let's leave listeners with an inquiry before we wrap, Daphna. Our moment of stillness. You have some options here.
So maybe, shall we take a breath, first of all? And really land that moment of stillness. And I think the question I want to leave our listeners with is, where does my anger actually show me what I care about the most?
Love that question. And it shows us that our anger is rooted in great intentions. Folks, if you know anyone else who needs to hear this episode about anger and how we're all humans who care and we all experience anger at some point, Please share it. Please leave a comment. Let us know what you thought about this topic. Let us know other topics that you might want us to discuss in an unfiltered way.
Yeah. And until next time, stay connected. And I'm saying connected to whatever emotion you're feeling with. Stay courageous and stay unfiltered. That's a wrap on this episode of Unfiltered, where we have courageous conversations about topics that are not often discussed in depth. We hope this conversation sparked something in you, whether it's a new perspective, a moment of reflection, or just the reassurance that you're not alone.
If you found this episode meaningful, please share it with someone who needs to hear it. And if you have a topic that you'd love for us to tackle, let us know. We are always up for conversations that don't get talked about enough.
Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and connect with us on LinkedIn. All our details are in the show notes, because the best conversations don't end here.
Until next time, stay curious, stay courageous, and stay unfiltered.